Just throw stuff out there, and if it sticks, it sticks.
Speaking about 60s and all this other stuff we were just talking about on the phone, as an old buddy of mine, I missed him this year. I normally get a chance to get together with him when we do the B1 on Lake St. Francis. I did not attend this year, as everybody is now aware. Good morning, Ryan Flero.
Good morning, Angelo Viola. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, man. I missed you this year, bud.
I know. It's. I haven't seen you as much as I usually do. You know, usually we get out a few times fishing, or I see you for the week of the B1 and stuff like that. It's been a busy season.
I wish I could have been there. Give me the update. How did you do on the B1 this year in my absence?
I did terrible because you weren't there coaching me. I have to admit I didn't have you and Pete, you know, to guide me and give me the steps of what to do and what not to do. But it was a great event, actually. The numbers were down, definitely down. You know, as we know, there's some things in the industry and things may be struggling. But the event was well put on, well done. It was really nice to see because, as you know, I have the a few waterfront rentals, and I have some maritime guys that have been coming up here for 5, 6, 7 years.
That's right. They want it.
They want it. So the guys that have been staying at my place, so, you know, we kind of laugh at it. They came up here 7 years ago, and they were just asking, you know, where to go. And we were giving them tips and leads and, you know, what to do, what to look for and stuff like that. And these guys come back and kick our butts. So it's nice. It was great to see. I think it's kind of like it needed, you know. That's what I think tournament fishing is all about. It's just not all about the local guys winning or coming in the top 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. These guys from out of town are here, and they're here to compete. And it's great for the industry, I think.
Well, it's funny. We had Corey Johnson on last week talking about his season south of the border on the tournament trail. And, you know, one of the things I mentioned, you know, I said, is it a disadvantage to you that a lot of these lakes that you're now fishing are totally foreign to you? You've never been on them. And yet you've got all the local pros that know the lake intimately competing against you. And he said, no, he says, actually, it's an advantage. And he went through his whole philosophy on that, and I believe him. I think it can sometimes. Okay, and we'll take you as an example. Now, I got to take a quick break. First of all, just to let you know, Ryan, I'm going to ask you to hang on. I'm going to take a quick break here in about 15 seconds. But I want you to about this. I want you to think about this. I think it's a bit of a disadvantage for you living on that body of water, working on that body of water day in and day out. I think it's a bit of a disadvantage, and I'll tell you why when we come back from this break. So sit tight. I have Ryan Flero, the 2016 Berkeley B1. No, back then it was Berkeley B1. It's not Berkeley B1 anymore. The B1 champion from 2016 on Lake St. Francis. More journal after this, don't you dare go away.
Appendicitis stole OG Ananobi's playoffs. Absence will make his game grow stronger. He's back to run it back on the home of your NBA champion Toronto Raptors. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Introducing Festival in downtown Vaughan. Live, laugh, and play in the new South VMC. Festival, it's a celebration. A Menkes Quadrille community. Register at festivalsouthvmc.com.
This update is brought to you by Menkes.
This is Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Total team effort. I'm Maria Saint-Aubin with your Sportsnet Central update. The Leafs' three-game winning streak came to an end last night as they fell 6-4 to the Sabres in Buffalo. Toronto had a 2-0 lead in the second period, but the Sabres roared back, scoring 4 goals in 14 minutes, and they never looked back. Michael Hutchinson was in net for the Blue and White. He's now 0-5-1 on the season. But post-game, John Tavares says everyone is to blame for the loss.
We were a little sloppy at times, but had some good opportunities, and then we just weren't very hard on pucks, and you know, we were sloppy coming through the neutral zone quite a bit, and that led to some of the transition, and you can see they started making some plays, feeling good about themselves, and, you know, we continue to give ourselves a chance, but we kept shooting ourselves in the foot.
The two teams are back at it tonight, this time in Toronto. Puck drops at 7. Watch it on Sportsnet and the CBC. In Orlando, the Raptors won their seventh straight against the Magic, coming out with a 90-83 win. Norm Powell led the way with a career-high 33 points. Fred VanVleet chipped in with 22 of his own. The Raptors have the day off. They're back at it tomorrow at home against the Jazz. Back to the ice, the Jets won their 10th of the month, shutting out Anaheim 3-0. The Wild crushed the Sens 7-2. Dmitry Orlov was the OT hero as the Capitals toppled Tampa 4-3 in overtime. Nashville blanked the Canes 3-0. David Krejci came through in OT as Boston edged the Rangers 3-2. The Blue Jackets pulverized the Pens 5-2, and the Flyers destroyed Detroit 6-1. In AHL action, the Marlies outlasted Rochester 3-2 in overtime. The team is back at it today. They host the Comets at 1:30. And happening now, Newcastle and Man City are tied at ones in the 54th minute. You're listening to the home of Tim and Sid, now on radio and TV. This is Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, want to learn more about the last great fishing frontier? Then look no further than FishingCanada.com.
Oh, buddy, that's a tank. That's a
the
tank.
Biggest and most comprehensive website dedicated exclusively to, you guessed it, fishing in Canada. Videos, blogs, how-tos, and GPS waypoints to some of Canada's best fishing hotspots and much, much more. We'll even show you how to prepare a world-famous Canadian shore lunch. If you love fishing, then you'll love FishingCanada.com. Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Stephen Labadie, fresh, sparkling clean.
Hola.
From a Mexican vacation adventure.
Si, senor.
Si. I want to hear all about it, buddy. I'm dying. How long were you down there?
For a week.
For a week, huh?
Saturday.
Did it seem like a month or did it seem like a day?
I felt like a day. A lot of stuff going on.
So you had
on.
A good time. All right.
Oh, yeah. A lot of partying.
No mishaps to speak of?
Well, not for me.
Oh, all right. On the line with us, Ryan Flero, a good friend of ours. He is the 2016 B1 winner on Lake St. Francis, and we're just starting to catch up. Hey, Ryan, before we go into that, I got to ask you, how did the deer hunt go this year?
I'm in Lachland. The deer hunting is changed completely. You know, it's just like fishing with technology. Things have just kind of evolved in the industry, you know, like now with technology, like spy point cameras and, you know, cell cameras, you know, pictures sent right to your phone. You can just, you know, it became so much easier, and the market's really changed in the hunting. You know, it used to be just people were going out just to get a deer to for their game and, you know, to put meat in the freezer. Now it's become, you know, it's kind of like catching that big fish. Guys are out there trying to get that big buck. So the whole industry as a whole has just evolved, and it's nice to see, you know. So with, like, technology and fishing, it's evolved in the hunting too.
That's a long about the longest conversation I've ever had with anybody to simply tell me, no, I didn't get one. that was about 3 minutes to say, no, it was not good.
I did get one, Ange. I got one, 247 pounds. I got a 12-point buck, so the pictures are on my Facebook account, so I did get one. But fortunately, we have our black powder muzzleloader season opening on Monday, so I've got a couple on the hit list. I've got pictures of them. I've been following them for the last 2 or 3 weeks, so I'm hoping they play into my ballpark this week, though.
So I said to you earlier on that we had Corey Johnson, and he was talking about visiting all these new lakes in the U.S., and he sees it as an advantage, not a disadvantage. First of all, how do you feel about that comment?
He's 100% right, and I'll give you a prime example. In the month of September, we had a tournament here in Cornwall. It was called the Pan Am Games, and so you got guys like Scott Martin, Ryan Latimer, all the best sticks of the guys, Americans coming up from the States, fish against Team Canada. So you got these guys that haven't been on this body of water. And they're fishing against 10 teams or 8 teams locally here. Bob Azumi, you know, a couple of guys, Dave Chong, guys that know the water, Lake St. Francis well.
We had a little technical glitch. Who is that? I didn't hear that.
Hi, folks.
Anyways, so you got these guys that are coming up, spending literally 2 days, 3 days practice on Lake St. Francis, and they're competing with the same weights. And, you know, of course, these are professional anglers, but these guys can figure it out in 2-3 days now, Ange. It's incredible. You know, we had guys, you know, some of these American guys that never came here, fished this body of water. You know, we had a team from Mexico, 25 pounds day one. Never wow. been here. Never fished current. Never fished smallmouth in their life. And they figured it out. So wow. technology definitely plays a role in it.
Yeah, oh, there's no doubt about it. I agree with you 100%. But I do think that sometimes you can overthink it. And I think you're at that stage on that body of water. Sometimes you can overthink it, right? Because let's be honest about it. You know every name in that lake on a first name basis. You know every fish in that lake. And so am I right?
You're absolutely right, Angela. But if you're looking for, here's the thing where it struggles with me. If you're looking for a one-day tournament, a big fish tournament, guys can go out and get that 25, 26 pounds now, and they can do it. Now, can they do it consistently for 2 days or 3 days? That's where, maybe the local advantage happens. You know, that's my personal opinion, my feelings of it. They move it to 2 days, 3 days, things change a little bit. It's tough. Like you said, when you're local in the lake, I don't get out pre-fish. Everybody knows I fish walleye, muskie. That's predominantly my main fish. Bass is just kind of a hobby and a pastime to sneak out and do with my buddies. But it's tougher. It's changed. The water's changing every year. Now, oh, for sure. I'm on it 125 days a year. I should know it better. I should be able to read it better. It's the luck of the draw some days.
You mentioned muskies. Wasn't that long ago that Pete and I were saying, you should really do some guiding for muskies on this body water. You know them so well. He said, I'm not really into muskies. And now, did I hear you just mentioned muskie on your list of things that you guide?
I've always did about 30, 35 days a year muskie. It's just not something I advertise for. It's just something that I've always did. I've got, like everybody knows, I don't take new clients every year. It's kind of, there's only so many days in a season, and everybody knows that. So it's kind of my love-hate relationships, just like you touched on. We went fishing, me and you, a couple of years ago. It can be done in 5 minutes, or it can be done in 5 days.
I guess if you didn't want anybody to know, you shouldn't have done an episode on the Fish of Canada show. Well,
I didn't have a rod in my hand that day, as everybody knows. So I just sat in back and observed and watched the pros at work.
It was crazy. And that still is one of the most talked about episodes that we've ever aired, because it was so off the cuff.
It's funny because I've talked to a lot of muskie guides in the area and just muskie fanatics, and guys ask me all the time, how did they do that in 15 minutes? And I said, you'll have to ask them. The moon, the stars were aligned.
It was crazy. What's on the agenda? What do you got cooking? What's the newest, greatest, latest? What can folks look forward to hearing from you on?
AquaView is coming out with some great products this year, Angel. It's the underwater technology is just taken, to the next level. I think, it's just made a game changer in the fishing industry. Garmin and AquaView, they've come out with some products. That new LiveScope is, as you're well aware, is just incredible. It's a game changer, it's almost, sometimes you say it's an unfair advantage to the fish now. But, you got to get in the bite.
You do. But I'll tell you where now, that phrase, it's an unfair advantage, does make sense. Because with this technology, I won't call it unfair because it's available to anybody. But if you can afford to buy the technology, I do believe you have a distinct advantage over somebody who does not.
Absolutely. Absolutely agree. I'll give you an example. Billy Hatfield and Nathan, who came up and won the B1, they spent 2-3 days on their AquaView in Lake St. Francis practicing, so they didn't catch the fish. They just got to see them. And, it's amazing the way it's evolutionized. It's funny because a few weeks ago, whenever we had the Pan Am Games up here, David Dudley came up and he happened to see a guy he'd never seen an underwater camera. And he jumped in one of the local guys' boats here as they were drifting by him looking for fish. And he jumped in, and this is FLW pros, guys, that, you'd think every one of them had them in their boat. And they could not believe the technology,
Yeah, yeah.
Ironically, I talked to Dudley a couple weeks ago. He has a camera now. He's like,
of course.
Wow, what a game changer.
Why wouldn't he? For sure. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the hunting industry. You know, SpyPoint and their technology with, you know, with hunting cameras and cell cameras. It's just evolutionized everything. You know, and you still got to do your homework, though. It helps. It's like one of those cards in your, you know, it's like one of those special lures in your bag. It adds to your arsenal.
It's an extra tool, right?
It's a great tool. Yeah. You know, as you look at trolling motors from when you and Reno started fishing years ago, and then you looked at them today, it's just evolutionized, you know, night and day.
I hate to break it to you. We didn't have trolling motors when we started.
You had Reno on a paddle back then. And
that's right. Don't laugh. That's true. Anyways, listen, my friend, it's always a pleasure having you on the program. Don't be a stranger. You've been gone. I missed you this year. Like I said, missing the B1 kind of cut me off of a lot of people that we normally socialize with, and unfortunately,
I missed it. We missed our fish fries and our feed. So we'll. I'm sure you're healthy. You'll be back this year. I'm sure.
Oh, buddy, you watch me go. What's on your schedule? How many tournaments are you planning on fishing this coming season?
So I'm going to fish Renegade this year, I believe, and I believe my plan is to do the Thousand Islands Open out of Kingston. That's probably one of my favorite tournaments of the year, to be honest with you, Ange. It's well run. I love Lake Ontario. It's probably it's my favorite. Next to St. Francis, one of my favorite lakes to fish.
Really?
So that's my plan. Yeah, I love the big open water fishing. You know, it's something that I've gotten. It's kind of a love hate relationship. You either get them or you don't. So, that's my plan. But definitely Renegade and hopefully some other. There's a new series opening up in the area. They call it Big Bag Challenge. It's going to be a 6 fish limit, and it's the guys that put on the Big Bass Challenge here, located in Eastern Ontario and Western Quebec. So they're going to do a series this year. They're going to fish Lake St. Louis and Lake St. Francis. So I might jump in there for a tournament or two. So we'll see how the season goes. Weather plays a big part in everything. So,
Are we at liberty to discuss the whole B1 thing? I mean, do you know anything about it? Are you going to be back fishing it?
It's funny. I was talking to the guys the other day, and I believe they're going to be back. You know, it's unfortunate, you know, the circumstances that took place. And it's damned if you do and damned if you don't. It's, there was some fish kill, whether whose fault it is, it doesn't really matter at this point. It's, from my perspective, we got to learn from it, go forward and make sure it doesn't happen again.
The only thing I want to add to that, Ryan, is you said it, you know, the point is it doesn't really matter how they died, but I think it does matter. You know,
absolutely.
Because
let me rephrase. It matters how they died.
Yeah.
But because we beat up and keep beating the dead horse and talking about it, and they've learned what caused them to die. I believe now, we've all learned from it. I think, unfortunately, it's just putting a big target on all the other tournaments that are operating in the area. So now they know we got to live up to the game and meet the highest standards available. And it's as bad as a misfortunate incident has turned into a great incident for the fishing industry. Because now there's a big target and all these guys back. Yeah. They have to live up to the standards and make sure it's done properly.
So what caused it? You say that we've now learned from it. What caused that that day, those 2 days last year, to have such a high mortality rate on tournament bass?
I believe it was lack of oxygen, Angelo. Okay. I'm sure that there's reports. There was a report published, and again, it was somebody published it. It was on Facebook. I don't know whether it's true or not, but it's like it was lack of oxygen. So, you know, it's here nor there. How do we, as an industry, learn from it and make sure this doesn't happen again? Now, I think it's like I mentioned earlier. It's the tournament organizations have a big target on their back right now, and they've got to live up to the 100% expectations now that this is never going to happen again. So, you know, is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? It wasn't a good thing for an industry at the whole. Are we going to see the B1 back? I believe so. Yes, I think they're going to learn from it. Unfortunately, it's a sad thing for local tourism because you know, there's hundreds and hundreds of people that expected and looked forward to having that tournament here. And, you know, yeah. it was in, you know, Eastern Ontario, Western Quebec. And people don't realize, you know, the hotels were booked. The yeah. restaurants were booked in the community. And, you know, the people look back and say, well, you know, fish are dying. We understand that. But how do we, rather than beat somebody up and or beat an organization up, let's make it better. And, you know, we got to remember, we have sponsors and we have, everybody's got bills to pay. And now all of a sudden, these people are looking at us saying, you know, now the motels are saying, we didn't get booked this year. We didn't get, you know, and I think they kind of appreciate the tournament business now. You know, they yeah. look for it as an attraction. So
well, I happen to know that the city of Cornwall can use the extra cash. I know that for
yeah,
sure. So
absolutely. You know, they loved it. So, you know, it's for as much as, you know, do we want to see tournament industry here? Yeah. You know, I'm the first one to admit I get 6 to 12 weeks booked a year for just tourism based fishing for guys that are here fishing tournaments, renting my waterfront rentals.
Oh, for sure.
So, is it yeah. good for me? Hey, it's excellent. You know, I would never turn it away. And it's sad to see it go down to, you know, 40 boats or 42 boats. Do we want to see it come back? Absolutely. You know, that's what we want back. And, you know, when we're looking around at each one of us as anglers, we're looking for sponsors and we're looking for this. You know, if the local economy is thriving, it shows that it's working, you know. Yeah. So I think we have to somehow as a group get back together.
First of all, let me throw out something right now. You know, that was so eloquently said. You are the you should be the poster child for tourism on that body of water, by the way. But I was going to say, if you are into fishing, and I don't care what species you're into, whether it's bass or walleye or muskie, if you have not spent a couple of days at Chez Flero, you have absolutely, you're not fishing. You have not experienced fishing. He's got this great place right on the St. Lawrence River, right on the lake. And the ambiance and the experience that you would have 2 or 3 days in that place will change you as an angler. I'll guarantee you. Well, I mean, forget the fact you're going to catch your first 5 or 6 pound smallmouth bass in your life. Forget the fact you're going to get your first 50 plus muskie. Forget the fact you're going to get a 10 pound walleye. I mean, those are all incidental and they're sort of secondary. The experience will move you as an angler.
Well, you know, it's a nice place when the drawbridge is bigger than the Countess's drawbridge at home.
Oh, for sure.
Oh,
have you seen
huge.
His drawbridge?
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, you know, you say that, and you're absolutely right. And, you know, it's funny you say that, Angelo, because I had not too long ago, my good buddy Ben showed up, and Carey Price, we took him fishing for the day on Lake St. Francis. He hadn't nice. Been on Lake St. Francis, and it was like he said the same thing. You know, he's got to travel quite a bit throughout the world. His love and his passion is hunting and fishing. And, you know, when he said he fished Lake St. Francis with me and Ben that day, we got him a couple 10-pound walleye, and he had a 6-pound bass, and it was like, wow. He says, people don't realize how close it is and how great it is here.
Geez, I wouldn't use him as an advertising vehicle right now.
we're in a little bit of a slump, but don't worry. As long as we're ahead of Toronto, that's the main goal right now, Andrew.
I got news for you, brother. You need to look at the standings. Okay,
I know.
You need to have a quick
peek. I read them from the bottom up.
Okay. Anyways, Ryan, always a pleasure having you on the program, my friend. Tell folks how they can reach you in case they do want to come and share with you these experiences.
They can reach out. It's on Lake St. Francis Waterfront Retreat on Facebook, or they can reach out to my personal Facebook account at Ryan Flero.
Beautiful. Thanks, buddy. Have yourself a wonderful weekend.
You too. Thanks, guys. See you later. Bye-bye.
Ryan Flero, angler extraordinaire, a guide. He is a mentor. He is a therapist. He is a gym teacher. I mean, whatever you want him to be, he is it. Extraordinary man. Anyways, and a good personal friend. So I'll throw that in there as well. We got to take a quick break. More journal after this. Don't you dare go away.